Okay, we're doing Rosh Hashanah. We're holding the Lamed Amud Aleph, the fourth white line, Masid Rava. We had seen in our Mishnah that the Mishnah had said, Machlokes, that Amrulo, they stated that it's not only Yavne, but anywhere you have a Beis Din, anywhere that you have a Beis Din, they blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah that's on a Shabbos. To which Rav Huna added, it has to be in the presence of Beis Din. And we're now bringing a quote. Tkiyat Rosh Hashanah, and the Gra isn't Goris the word Rosh Hashanah here, but rather Tkiyat Yovel, without the Rosh Hashanah. Dochat HaShabbat Bagvulin Ish Ubeito. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, Bagvulin means external to the Beis HaMikdash, outside within the boundaries of Israel. So every person and his home, what does that mean? A woman's not chayv in tkiyas shofar. So we had brought a brisa in which it said every individual must blow shofar. And Rav Huna added to that brisa, just as he added to our Mishnah, it's got to be with the courts. So Rava asks, wait a second, here, what's shot in this brisa? It seems to say that every person does it at home. And it seems to indicate, not like Rav Huna said, that you have to do it with the time that Beis Din is around. Even if you don't have to do it in their presence, you have to do it during the hours that they're convening. So over here, the Gemara is saying, wait a second, doesn't it seem to say, do it at home, afilu shelo bizman beitin? Whenever you want, you're doing it at home. Says the Gemara, no. We could answer that this brisa too means, lo lam bizman beitin, that every individual blows at the time of Beis Din, even if you're not by the Beis Din. On Rosh Hashanah, you have to do it in front of Beis Din, like Rav Huna said on our Mishnah. And on Yovel, you just got to get the right time. So all over the country, everyone's blowing shofar for the first 6 hours of the day.
This verse indicates that Ishu Beito is the wife.
Beito is the wife in the Lashon of the Gemara, yeah. That's Bnei Beito. Beito, the Gemara Darshins, Vechiper Bado Vad Beito, that he has to be married, Beito is the wife, and yeah. Same thing in last week's Parsha. Ishu Beito Bao, Ishu Beito comes from the story of Yaakov going into Golos. It says Ishu Beito Bao, each person came with his home. Chazal Darshan means every person was betrothed. Mativ Rav Sheisha, Tzana Rav Sheisha asks, Shavei Yovel Rosh Hashanah Latkiyah VeLabrachot. The Mishnah said earlier, Yovel and Rosh Hashanah have the same halachos with regard to blowing shofar, same bless, and the same additions into the Shmoneh Esrei. Labrachot means the blessings that we add to Shmoneh Esrei. Ela Shavei Yovel Tokin Ben Bebetin Shekidshu Bo Tachodesh. The only difference is that on Yovel you blow shofar, even in the courts that were not the ones to actually sanctify the new month. And every individual has an obligation to blow shofar on the Jubilee year, on the Yovel of Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippur. And on Rosh Hashanah, only that high court in which they sanctified the month would blow shofar. And every individual doesn't have to. My in kol yachid v'yachid chayav litkoa. Ilema de biyovel tokin yachidin im Rosh Hashanah in tokin yachidin. You'll tell me simply on Yovel individuals blow, on Rosh Hashanah they don't. V'akiyata Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef amar ki amesayim shlicha de tzibrot kiyata biyavne. When Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef came from Israel, he told us that when the shaliach tzibur would finish his blasts in Yavne, by the high court, You couldn't hear a thing because there was so much shofar being blown right afterwards. So you see, the individuals did blow shofar. So that's not what it means. What does it mean? So then what does it mean? Then Rosh Hashanah, the individuals don't blow. El alav. De'ilu bayoved, tokin ben bizman betin ben shelo bizman betin. You have to say that what he meant to say, what the Braisa means to say, is that on Yovel, you blow shofar all day long, even after the courts cease to convene. Uvrosh Hashanah bizman betinin, shelo bizman betinon. And Rosh Hashanah, you don't do it outside that time frame. Only so long as the courts are convening. So again, the Braisa said, the Yovel token bein bebezen shkichu, uvein bebezen shelo kichu, v'chol yachid v'yachid chav litkoa. So the Gemara is interpreting that to mean, not a question of location, but rather a question of time. And Rosh Hashanah, you only blow bebezen shkichu, and ein kol yachid v'yachid chav litkoa outside that time frame. Ketani miyat, what do you see from the Braisa though? Bayovel ben bizman betin ben shelo bizman betin. Then on Yovel you blow all day. So what do you mean to say that you only blow in the time of Beis Din? Here it seems to say even not in the time of Beis Din. Says the Gemara, lo, no, we don't like that pshat. Leolam bizman betin. Really, the Braisa agrees you blow at the time that the Beis Din's convened. Vehachik tani, and this is what you have to say in the Braisa. Bayovel bizman betin tokin ben bifnei betin ben shelo bifnei betin. On Yovel, you blow in front of Beis Din, not in front of Beis Din, but it has to be during the time Beis Din is convened. Berosh Hashanah tokin bizman betin uvifnei betin. In Rosh Hashanah, it's got to be at the time and at the place. It's only in front, in the presence of the Beis Din, like Rav Huna said on our Mishnah. Itmar Nami, and this Itmar Nami is another support of what Rav Huna said. Itmar Nami. Amar Rav Chaya Bar Gamda, Amar Rav Yosi Ben Shaul, Amar Rebi. En tokin ela kol zman shebetin yoshvin. Shofar is only blown by the individuals on Yom Kippur, on Yovel, at the time that the courts are convened. So you could blow all over the city, but it's got to be during those hours. So Rabbi Zeira is always the one that asks the fine points throughout the Shas. You see, Rabbi Zeira is always asking, how do you quantify it? He's always coming down with the question of down to the minute. So if the Beis Din stood up, they're getting ready to leave. They got ready to stand up and leave. But they didn't yet stand up. Meaning they said, okay, let's close up shop. But they didn't close up shop. Now you want to blow your shofar. Betin yoshvin binin. Do you need them actually convened? Havayika, they're still there. Odin mazman betin beinan veleka. Or it's got to be a time that Beis Din would accept new issues, and they're not. They said, let's go home. So they're done for the day. Teiku. It's like you call the cell phone company. And they're supposed to close in 2 minutes. And they say, we're not taking any new requests anymore. So the courts are ready to leave. Okay, yeah. We said in the Mishnah, Yerushalayim at another point that it was better than Yavne, that any city that was within sight, within hearing, was close enough and could come, would blow shofar on Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah. Ro'ah, prat liyoshevet banachal. When you say it's got to be a city that could see, that means sometimes you have a big city that's at the edge of a cliff. And 5 meters away you have another city that's down the cliff. So distance-wise, there are rocks throw away. But the city down below can't see the city up above because there's a cliff. So that's called Yoshevet Banachan. Shomad, it says a city that could hear one another. Prat Yoshevet Rosh Ahav. If this city is just over the cliff, so they can't hear what's going on down there. Okay, excuse me for a minute. What can I do? Kurova, what did the Mishnah mean, cities that are close? to the exception of cities that are outside the Tum Shabbos, outside 2,000 Amah. When we say a city that could come, it has to be that they physically could come. Sometimes they have all the other criteria, but there's a river in between. You can't come. You're close. You could see. You could hear. You can't come. Practically, you can't cross the river. So that's what it's telling you. The cities that are close enough that they could see that it's not down a cliff, that they could hear that it's not on top of a mountain, that they're close, they're not outside the tchum, and they can physically come, that there's no stream, no natural boundary. But once we saw one case in our Mishnah of things that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted after the destruction, we see others. Initially, they take lulav only in the temple 7 days. But outside the temple, the Torah doesn't obligate 7 days. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted to commemorate the temple. We shake lulav 7 days outside the Beis HaMikdash too. That the day when they wave the Omer would be prohibited from eating chadash. Technically, midoraisa, once you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so you say from the morning, it's mutter, there isn't going to be any Omer sacrifice today. But Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai said, you know, tomorrow they'll build a Beis HaMikdash, and then there will be an Omer, and then you have to wait till midday. So if people are used to eating it in the morning, because there is no sacrifice, so then they'll mess up when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. And this is a genius. I always love these Mishnayot, because the first examples tell you how Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai came and said, it's destroyed, and it's going to stay that way for a while. If he thought it was being rebuilt tomorrow, he didn't have to make these institutions. He understood, we're in for a long gullus. This is going to take time. We need to commemorate the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be forgotten otherwise. So he's making institutions with that foresight. This is going to be a long time before it's rebuilt. So you think, okay, he's focused on commemorating what was. No, he's also focused on preparing for the building that's going to come. At the same time that he's making institutions that reflect the fact that this is going to be a while, this is a long destruction, he's also making an institution that says, it could be just tomorrow. We have to be prepared. That's a beautiful balance in these Mishnayot.